Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Basic question, guys. It's as easy as it gets. Is this a big game? How big a game is it? Are you back in? Do you believe there's a glimmer of hope for the playoffs again? If Lima can stoke his heart to believe that there is a glimmer of hope here, most of you are much more positive people than Anthony. If Anthony can believe it, I imagine a lot of you. Now, we did get calls to the contrary when it comes to Jameis Winston yesterday. I went after a caller who went after me over Jameis Winston, over this offense. And it's always the coulda, woulda, shoulda. They should have thrown this pick. They should have thrown that pick. Okay, well, they didn't. They won 29-24. And he still moved the ball down the field. If you have a quarterback that's not afraid to throw the ball, that means he's going to throw some interceptions because he ain't afraid to throw those interceptions. They didn't catch him. I took what I could get. I don't think it was. Guys, if they would have scored, you remember the game that Johnny beat the Titans years ago and they threw two big bombs? I remember I came in here and I felt worse about it. And my co-host at the time felt worse about it. He wanted to know why. And I go, they didn't move the ball down the field. And he went, exactly. Because everything was like a test. I mean, that guy had played professional football. And so he was like, he was like proud that I got it right. I was like, they didn't move the ball down the field. They didn't conduct an offense. They beat a terrible team on two broken plays to Travis Benjamin. If they would adjust, and one was a broken coverage when it comes to Cedric Tillman, but you had to put yourself in position to do that. He threw for 334 yards. They moved the ball down the field. They scored on 4 of 6 drives in the second half. Like, they were good. They were good. And that was the difference to me with Jameis Winston as compared to the first 7 games of the season with Deshaun Watson. But now we get ready for this game. The Ravens game was a great big win, but it's Friday. We got to get ready for the Chargers coming to town. Their defense is good. They will try to make sure that you make no mistakes. They make very few mistakes. They do not throw a lot. They don't turn the ball over, really. They don't try to put the ball in the air too much. Justin Herbert's probably put the ball in the air as little as he ever has. He only has 8 touchdowns, but he only has 1 interception. I mean, they play old-style football over there. So you're going to have to drive on them. You're going to have to not make mistakes, not turn the ball over. So Jameis is going to have to be pinpoint there. And you want to find yourself in a position of classic football where you're up 2 possessions with 9 minutes left to go and you're trying to salt this thing away. I think it becomes more of a possession game in the fourth quarter than it does, hey, we got to get some points here. We got to extend this. I think it becomes more possessions because I think if you get 2 possessions on them, I think they have to drive on you, and I think that they would take up so much time that you would put yourself in a more advantageous position. Now, they have Khalil Mack and Derwin James still. They got some good football players over there. I don't think this is going to be some runaway. They're a 4-3 football team. I know they took some weaponry away, but they're still good.
Yeah, nobody really scares you with their offense, just looking at it. I mean, they've got, you know,
J.K. Dobbins looking better.
Dobbins had the great start to the season. Since then, it really hasn't been as great. Gus Edwards has been their backup. He's like 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And then their receivers. I mean, think about the receivers you used to go up against. They were big in name and big in stature when you would go up against the Chargers. We had all these close games with them over the years. It seems like the Chargers would be able to pull out in recent times. their number one target, has twice as many targets as anybody else, is Ladd McConkey. He was a second round pick, and he has been really, really good. But after that, I don't think our fans would have any idea who their guys are. They are not exactly box office names. No. But just goes to show you the type of football they play. It's not a sexy team. But it's a really interesting clash, because the Browns team we saw last week obviously was a totally different team. And obviously we're keeping our eyes glued to the injury report, and you know, hopefully Betonio is going to be able to play. And then defensively, you know, I imagine not only is JOK, we already know, is out, but Denzel's probably not going to play.
Yeah.
So does that change? I mean, Chargers, they're not a team that really airs it out all that much. So maybe that mitigates what normally, if Denzel doesn't play, that mitigates what would be a big weakness. Yeah,
like, don't take this the wrong way. This can be seen as a slight. They're professionals, and it's a well-coached football team. Jim Harbaugh, for his faults, is a good football coach. And in the NFL, is a really good football coach, because now it's not under the guise of whatever college football is supposed to be anymore, whatever that definition is to most people out there. He can get a team prepared, and they will be prepared on Sunday. I don't think that they will go out there and look listless against the Browns. I'm waiting for the game where they get to go out there and some team just falls apart, and then we get to smoke a cigar for the fourth quarter and everything's fine. I don't think it's going to happen against the Chargers. I think they're going to make you do all those things that I said about it. So how big of a game is this? Do you let yourself as a fan? Like, they are 2-6. That's an uphill battle. Like, I got to get to Sunday afternoon, and whether or not we make big decisions on the future of this football team, I mean, if they win this football game, they're 3-6. I'm saying hold your horses on any of these big-time trades. Like, there are guys I think you could trade, or you could make the argument to trade, and you'd still be a competitive team. I still don't know if I want to make those decisions based on future injuries, hedging the bets against future injuries. But if you lose this game and you go to 2-7, I mean, I think that that's it for a lot of people. You win it, you get to a bye week. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to think that there's a brighter light at the end of
there's
the tunnel.
There's a roadmap.
There. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Even if it still seems like the odds makers would put you still in a deep, deep hole, it's why I'm watching the Jets game yesterday and going, man, the Jets stink. And they got three wins. So, yeah, it stinks that they won. But, you know, could I see a world where Jameis Winston has a Joe Flacco run in him?
I mean, I think it's difficult to repeat. I didn't think going into the season you could do that again, but that's really the hope that you have now. Your defense can play at a decent level. You're hoping that Jameis Winston can. And remember, after this bye week, if you can get this win, you go to 3-6. You're at New Orleans, which is a 1 o'clock game, and then the rest of it's AFC opponents. So you'll get to figure it out real quick after that moment, whether or not you're able to do it. But I think that we have kind of undersold this week for a lot of fans how important this game really is, because it's not just trying to keep your head, I can't say, above water. You're trying to get back to the surface right now. You're not just trying to do that. You're trying to figure out what guys are going to stay. Like Greg Newsome, he could very well play his last game as a Cleveland Brown on Sunday. There's definitely other names out there that people would figure out of whether or not they played their last game as a Cleveland Brown on Sunday. I mean, Elijah Moore all of a sudden shows up on tape. Is Elijah Moore a trade candidate? Because I don't think that he's going to get re-signed after this year. Can you still compete without Elijah Moore after this season if Cedric Tillman goes out and has another nice game again?
That opens things up. That makes you feel a lot better about that. Already, by the way, I've already seen people say that it's already been an upgrade over Amari Cooper.
Well,
and I mean, who would have said that before the season?
I think that's a bit of a strong commentary by some people out there. I'm not going to say that yet. But, like, do you have enough where, okay, I can make a move with Elijah Moore. I can still have Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman. Can Jamari Thrash be active and show anything? Or Jalen Darden, or who the hell do they have? James Prochet on the practice squad, or someone like could somebody there help you out where, okay, I can get a return for Elijah, but I can also still conduct an offense.
Here's a great thing. If you would have said that while Watson was the quarterback and he wasn't getting off that first read, you'd go, my God, no, nobody.
I wouldn't be talking about Elijah Moore. No one's going to trade for him.
Yeah. No, and nobody's going to be able to step up in the absence if you traded Elijah Moore. Like, nobody could do that. But with Jameis, if the guys can run a route in the Stefanski/Dorsey offense, they're going to be open. You know Jameis is going to put it on them. He's going to take chances to put it on him.
I don't even know the difference in the offense. The plays looked a lot similar on Sunday than they have in a lot of other places. 216-474-0092. Okay, how big a game is this? You know how I felt all week. And we bickered about it earlier. Lila has sort of seen a little bit of a flicker of light there at the end of the tunnel. If you're feeling better about that, 216-474-0092, how big is this game for you since Lima has been able to cross the aisle on this?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This person will be at Huntington Bank Field on Sunday covering the game for Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain dealer, as she's done for many, many years. Mary Kay Cavett joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Lima, take it away.
Yeah, I got to say, Mary Kay, something very interesting is developing out there, and I don't know how much you pay attention to it because you're one of the best. There's a reason that you've gotten so much of your national recognition, and of course, right
Stop
here.
Stop buttering
in
her up and ask a question.
No, I'm amazed, Mary Kay, about the people in my life, and then complete strangers on social media who want me to go after you about your opinions on the current state of the Browns quarterback. And we always say this: we're like, well, Mary Kay can defend herself, as you have done countless times. There have been times you've bludgeoned us over different arguments that we've had on the radio. So, Mary Kay, why do you think it is that we are at such an impasse right now with a lot of the conversations we're having when it comes to Deshaun Watson and now his replacement?
Well, I don't know exactly what your friends want you to go after me for, so it's hard for me to answer that. I don't know what you're having a problem with.
What's about Watson? It's about Watson, that they want nothing to do with him ever again. They want that last game that he was the quarterback to be the last game that he is ever the quarterback again with the Browns. And they want me to scream that at you.
Okay, well, let's start with that one then. I did write a column saying that it's not a foregone conclusion that he is absolutely 100% gone by the beginning of next season, because people do need to understand that there is an economic component here. People think that you can just cut him or waive him this year, and that is not as easy as it sounds, because if you do that before June 1st, you're triggering a $172 million cap charge for next year, and you can't really do that. So they have decisions to make. I'm not saying that Deshaun Watson is ever necessarily going to be playing for the Cleveland Browns again, but they have economic and football decisions that they have to make. So people that may have just seen the tweet probably or maybe didn't read the column itself, but it lays out the financial implications of making this decision, and they really are complicated. So they have to figure out, is there a way to part ways with Deshaun Watson, or is there not a way to part ways with him? Do you have him around and he doesn't play? Is he your number two? Is he your number three? Do you tell him to go home and rehab his Achilles for the season for another year? That's basically what I wrote, is that it's just not that easy to say, okay, this is over. Now, from a football standpoint, it seems to me like I can't imagine him trotting out at Huntington Bank Field and playing in front of that crowd again. I really have a hard, hard time picturing that anymore. If that were not the case and he wasn't so hated here by the fans, then you could do some kind of a Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix model, where he comes back from the Achilles and you see if there's a way that he can be ready at some point in the season, and you go out and you draft a rookie quarterback. But in this situation, that's probably untenable because the ship has sailed here absolutely for sure between him and the fans.
That's the perspective that we were looking for. Mary Kay Cabot joining us. So how much does Jameis Winston and the way that he plays the rest of the year impact any of the decisions that you just talked about?
I think it impacts it in a big way. You have to see what Jameis has for you in store. You have to see what he can do. One game is beautiful. That was amazing. Everybody needed it. The receivers needed it. The fans needed it. The organization needed it. The receiver room was losing it. Things were going haywire. We all know that. So everyone needed that victory. Everyone needs the, you know, the energy, the positivity, and all of the things that Jameis brings. But let's see what the rest of the season brings. No decisions have to be made right now. And just remember, I know everyone thinks that that now he should be that. Not everyone, but people think, oh, he should be the starter next year. Obviously. Just remember that this was the 32nd ranked pass defense minus two of their best cornerbacks. Maybe he will go on to throw for 300 yards a game like Joe Flacco did in so many of his games last season. And for fans, I know that would be fun and I know that would be exciting. But let's see how it plays out. I mean, when he plays the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, it might be a little different. Now, Kevin Stefanski did say yesterday that he is naming him the starter for the rest of the season. I think that's a good idea. Again, everyone needs that. The only drawback is that if he wins 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, whatever it's going to be, you know, you are kind of putting yourself behind the eight ball for a rookie quarterback. But maybe that won't matter as much if you can get things rolling again with this football team.
So if you win, you do good, but you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, is what you're telling me, Mary Kay?
Well, not necessarily, because basically, what we saw on Sunday was the version of the Cleveland Browns that everybody thought that they were going to be this season. So in that scenario, you might not need to start selling off your good players, and you might just need to figure out your quarterback situation. And that's not impossible to do. The Pittsburgh Steelers did it this year. They went out and got themselves Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and they just kept rolling along. And I think that's the model. That's what the Browns can do. They can find themselves a quarterback somewhere, whether it's a combination of Jameis Winston and DTR and a rookie or another veteran that they trade for and bring in or someone that they sign in free agency. This football team is not one that needs a massive rebuild. I mean, you've still got your core players on this team. So I just don't really think that this is a situation where they're going to have to go 1-16 to get good again.
So if he's going to be the starter the rest of the year, why did Dorian Thompson-Robinson take over as the backup there before the Cincinnati game? Was it just as simple as they wanted to see what Dorian Thompson-Robinson has if he has to come into the football game?
They viewed the two of them as their backups heading into the season, to the point where they were going to be willing, if someone made them the right offer for Jameis, they would have at least considered it at the beginning of the season. They had two backup quarterbacks that they felt good about, and Dorian had done a nice job in practice, and they were ready to see what he could do as the backup in the event that it came to that. But I think once it actually went down like that, I think they realized that at a time like this, you do need more of a veteran presence, that perhaps Dorian does need a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more time, and that Jameis is the one, just like Joe was last year, to guide the team through the tough times.
Mary Kay with us. So obviously that was the first game where Kevin Stefanski gave up his play calling duties. Have you been able to get a sense of how maybe not only did Ken Dorsey's play calling help the team, but how Kevin Stefanski being able to focus on other aspects of an NFL game may have helped the team?
Well, I absolutely 100% think that Kevin Stefanski could have called that game. Why do I think that? Because I've seen him call that game many times before, including last season, so many times with Joe Flacco. So that's the kind of game that Kevin excels at, knows, and can call with his eyes closed. So I certainly don't think that he would have struggled to call that game for Jameis. Again, this was the 32nd ranked pass defense minus two of its top cornerbacks, and it was time to run the ball and take some explosive shots downfield. Kevin can do that. We know that. What we don't know is how Ken Dorsey would have done calling a game for Deshaun Watson, which was a major reason they overhauled this entire offense, was to try to maximize his skill set with more of the spread offense, more shotgun, more RPOs and things like that. We never saw him call that for Deshaun, so we don't know what that looks like. And in this town, we probably aren't going to ever know what that looks like. So it was a great first effort. I'm sure that Kevin did a nice job as the CEO coach, but I think he can multitask. So I just don't think that, you know, all of a sudden everything went so well because Kevin wasn't calling plays anymore. I think it was a combination of things like it usually is.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do you think that there were any scenarios where Kevin stepped in and overruled Ken Dorsey?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to let him, they do collaborate on things, and they set, you know, they set everything up during the week, so much so that it almost doesn't matter who calls the plays. But no, I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to let your offensive coordinator call the plays, and he's done it before with great success, then you're not going to interfere in that situation. And it really wasn't even necessary in that game in any situation that I could see. So, you know, it was fine. It gives Ken a chance to show his play-calling chops, and it gives Kevin Stefanski an opportunity to make sure that everything else is going okay. Because, again, there have been some things going on this team in recent weeks where you've got Elijah Moore getting benched, and you had Jerry Jeudy throwing his helmet into the bench. Things were starting to get a little tense, to get a little ugly in some areas, and it's not the worst thing in the world for Kevin to be overseeing the whole operation.
Why do you think Elijah was benched?
I don't know yet. I really don't know. I don't know what that was all about. I did ask him if he still wanted to be here, and he said yes. And I think he was just frustrated, and I don't know what happened behind the scenes for him to get benched yet. I don't know if I'll ever know, but I'll still try to find out.
Could this be Greg Newsom's last football game as a Cleveland Brown?
It possibly could be, but he said something at the end of the quote when we asked him about that yesterday. He said that he really trusts Andrew Berry and that Andrew Berry knows what he's capable of doing out there. It almost seemed like those two might have had some kind of a conversation about this, and that perhaps he got some reassurance that he's not going anywhere. But you can never say never. You never say never in a situation like this. If they lose this football game, and I don't think they're going to lose this football game against the Chargers, but if they do lose this football game, then you might look at the trade deadline a little bit differently. If you win it, you have to say, maybe we can get a little run going here, and who knows what can happen. But if not, you start to view things a little bit differently. I think Greg is still going to be here, and he seemed to think so too.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Are there any other names that they could maybe part with that would not be raising the white flag, that they would be like, hey, we're still a competitive football team? Like, even after a win on Sunday, say they beat the Chargers, but they still make a move.
You know, I think that they can make moves that won't raise that white flag. If you can move a couple of guys that aren't going to make or break your football team over the rest of the season, they'll make those moves. But you're not going to see Denzel gone. You're not going to see Miles gone. You're not going to see the core pieces of your football team gone. And again, because if you look at it just in the same way, as I mentioned before about the Steelers, if you get the quarterback situation right, you can go rolling along again next year. You don't want to get rid of your core players.
Mary Kay Cabot, we thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Guy.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Outstanding as always.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's our Browns beat reporter, and he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Mr. Ryder, good morning to you.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you? Are you in Berea?
Where else would I be?
Sometimes you're home. Here's how we know. No, listen, Daryl, here's how we know
where you
are. Did
you not hear Ken Dorsey's press conference?
When's the last time I've done Thursdays at 11:40 from home?
I don't know, but let me tell you why I asked. Ready? Here's why I asked. Ready? Because when Daryl answers the phone, hey, guys, what's up? He's at home. And when he goes, hey, what's up, guys? He's
in Berea. How did he just answer the phone?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Exactly. So where is he?
Berea. He's in Berea. Yeah, I'm just making sure. Daryl, before we get into the Browns, I need to ask you.
You know what? I'm really glad we sorted this out, by the way.
Our listeners are very, very smart.
Daryl, welcome to my life, pal.
Listen, I was trying to think of what kind of candy Daryl Ryder hands out on Halloween. So I'm going to guess. Jeff, you want to guess? Don't tell me yet. I'm going to guess. Jeff, you want to guess?
Yep.
He hands out the mini candy bars, but a potpourri of various types.
Right, I'm going to go, well.
Like a Snickers, a Milky Way, a Baby Ruth.
Twix. I was thinking Twix. I don't know why. Daryl Ryder, what kind of candy does Daryl Ryder hand out on Halloween?
Jeff's smarter than you, Andy.
Well, that's why we do that segment at the end of the show.
Are you dumber than Andy Baskin?
That's the new segment.
Did I nail it, Daryl?
you did. I give out the mini. Yeah, I get the mixed bag of the mini candy bars. That's what I give out.
Beautiful. I didn't even know that.
Hey, listen. I save the Reese cups for me. I keep the good stuff for me.
Jeff doesn't like Reese cups. By the way.
Well, that's just more for me. Good.
There it is.
All right, fair enough.
That means I don't have to share.
Andy acts like not liking Reese's Cups is just like, you know, makes me a bad person.
Here's the problem, okay? We had this conversation.
We have our trained reporter on, and you're talking Halloween candy.
Better than Ken Dorsey's presser.
It is Halloween, Jeff.
It's okay. Jeff, guess what? Thanksgiving's coming up next month, too.
What are you putting a turkey there?
What did you dress up as today, Jeff?
I dressed up as Jeff Phelps today.
In the studio, what did you dress? You dressed up as shit. That's Wayne. Baskin, what did you
tell me about it?
I'm Jason.
You're Jason. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm wearing a name tag that says Jason. No. Let me give you this, and we're going to the Browns. Jeff destroyed Reese's cups for me when he said they were too salty, and at that point in my life, I had never realized that there was salt in there. And then the next time I went to go eat them, all I could taste was the salt. So thank you, Jeff Phelps, for destroying my one-time favorite candy.
Of eating. I've never tasted salt in Reese cups. So
I never did, but now you will.
I'm just keeping track of your blood pressure, Andy.
It's okay.
Well, listen, if I taste sodium in my Reese cups tonight, I am now going to blame Andy Baskin and
blame Jeff. Blame Jeff.
I didn't bring it up to you. Jeff, I am bringing up Ken Olympic Dorsey moment. To you.
Ken Dorsey, what'd you think?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
You thought something he said was interesting?
Easy. All of a sudden, Dan Menigan and Daryl Ryder are now bonded buddies.
And so this election year, vote for Menigan and Ryder. They hate kids.
Well, actually, that's true.
I thought he was a little more descriptive and open about saying that he and Kevin kind of called some things together, and Kevin threw out some ideas and everything else about play calling during the game. I thought that was interesting.
Okay. Well, I mean, did you expect something else to happen last Sunday?
I wasn't sure what would happen, and that's why I'm glad he shared that with me.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. So, okay.
Hey, I nailed the candy bars. I can't be perfect today.
Yeah, but if you ruin Reese cups for me, I will never forgive you.
Did you know Cedric Tillman practices at a high speed and then plays that way? I'm seriously, not everybody practices at the same speed they play at in a game. I thought that was interesting.
if I had a dollar for every time I heard that about a player, I wouldn't be talking to you guys right now. I'd be eating some Reese's cups on a beach somewhere.
So riddle me this one.
Yeah.
After Ken enlightened us, I said this to Andy, and I want your opinion. Name the MVP on offense so far this year. And I'll just tell you, I couldn't come up with one.
Wait a minute. There's an MVP on the offense?
There you go.
I said David Njoku. So.
Yeah, I would probably have to say, I guess. Like, I feel like I need another sample size. I feel like I need to forget the first 7 weeks of the season happened.
Yeah.
And I need another sample size. You know what I mean? Like, it's they just haven't found any consistency. And you know, that's I ask Ken about the offensive line, because the offensive line played the best game, at least in my opinion, that they have played all year. And I was a little puzzled, because Ken's like, well, those guys are finally getting to spend more time together. And the longer they're playing together, I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, you know, that was a completely different offensive line last week, right? That was the sixth straight week that you guys had a different offensive line. They hadn't played together a lot. But hopefully going forward, they will. Hopefully Joel Bitonio's foot isn't an issue. But, you know, what I was kind of hoping I knew he wasn't going to go there, because anything related to number four, he sidestepped, and understandably so. But I think that was really the difference, that, you know, the quarterback isn't bailing out of the pocket two seconds having the football in his hands. They're not running a scramble drill on every play. And I think that makes a big difference for those guys up front, when that's the case. So I am interested to see how well this line plays this week against a physical Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers have a pretty physical front. They don't give up a lot of points. It's similar to John Harbaugh's Ravens in the way that they play from an aggressive physical standpoint. And so I am interested to see how they hold up this week.
Daryl, does the who you would trade? Do you wait till after Sunday?
Yeah,
100%. Right? Do you think Za'Darius is getting traded?
Yeah.
But does it matter if they win or lose on Sunday?
For me, it matters, because I think that the win or loss on Sunday determines the size of the sale that Andrew Berry attempts versus going small with it. I'm not going to say definitively yes, they're trading Za'Darius Smith. Obviously, his name has popped up on the rumor mill. Greg Newsome, we talked to him yesterday about his name showing up on the rumor mill, and he said, I'm not really paying much attention to it. He's just, trying to zero in on what he does day to day, and the fact that he feels like he's really kind of established himself here. But if they lose Sunday, I think that really officially, I've been saying for weeks that's it. But you lose Sunday and that's your seventh loss of the year, that is over. If you win, go to 3-6, you go into your bye week, you get an opportunity to get some rest, get healthy, and then maybe you start to feel good about yourself because, hey, Jameis Winston started those two games, and all of a sudden maybe the offense is, looking like there's some life in it and things like that. And, but for me, and Baskin and I had this conversation on the podcast, albeit it was one-sided, and I did the talking. You can't talk about the P word until they win three, four, five games in a row.
Yeah.
Because you got to get back to 500 before you start thinking in those terms. So there's a long way to go to get to that point. And honestly, that's December. Like, they have to sweep the month of November. And then, if they're back to 500 come the month of December, then we can, start talking about other things. But, yeah, I do think that the game will inform Andrew Berry's decision-making process when it comes to the trade deadline.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Daryl knows his stuff. That's why I'm going to ask you what I think is a tough question. I'm going to give you five options.
And I'm going to give you a Ken Dorsey answer, so just, go right ahead.
Just with your gut and your knowledge, give me an answer.
What did you say about my gut?
Your gut feeling and your knowledge.
Oh, okay.
There's no candy in it yet, so your gut's fine. Easy.
Okay.
Most likely option as Brown's starting quarterback next year. Okay? And I know that's looking ahead.
Right. Okay.
Hold on. Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston.
No.
Hold on.
Maybe.
Deshaun, Jameis, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a veteran who is signed as a free agent or acquired in a trade, or a draft choice?
I got two maybes, two no's, and doubtful. Draft pick, doubtful. Maybe Jameis, maybe veteran. No to DTR, no to Deshaun.
How do you get away with Deshaun not being the starter or DTR not being the starter?
DTR is very easy. Deshaun, I go with a 52-man roster next year, similar to what the Houston Texans did in 2021.
You send him home?
No, you obviously allow him to have access to whatever he needs access to, but you pay him and you don't play him.
Daryl, we have like 30 seconds. You were at the Cavs game last night. Didn't you cover the Cavs?
Yeah, I was there. Got to see Bronny score his first NBA bucket.
How was it?
The building was light. I mean, the game was a blowout, and LeBron admitted after the game that he really couldn't enjoy it as much. Even the tribute video that they did in the first quarter, and that, although he did tap Bronny on the leg when Bronny got mentioned, but because it was a blowout, the Cavs, boat raced the Lakers there. 8 minutes to go in the game, Bronny still had the DNP coach's decision on him, and the whole building started chanting, "We want Bronny." And it wasn't it was loud. It was a very loud chant. And then, when he went to the scorer's table, the building erupted, and then obviously same thing happened when he got in the game and scored his first NBA points. So it was fun. Cavs are fun. They're 5-0, third time in franchise history. First time since 16-17, and Kenny Atkinson, man, I get the feeling this is going to be a very fun basketball season and a fun basketball team to watch.
Love the way hopefully he's using the roster, Daryl. Love the way they're moving the ball.
Oh yeah,
love the way they're moving.
I love the spacing. I love the 3-point shooting that they're, because they're not shooting threes just for the sake of shooting the threes, Jeff. Which is a lot.
Exactly.
That was happening under JB and Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. They get the absolution here. But I'm just talking about everyone else. With the shooting threes, they're all coming within the flow of the offense. A lot of open looks from the perimeter, but the spacing's really good. He's making the multiple bigs, which I had questions about, work. I mean, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley last night were just absolutely sensational. So yeah. This is a fun basketball team to watch. Hope fans really enjoy it.
Good to have you with us. Enjoy the Halloween candy that you're going to hand out.
I'm going to go eat my Reese's cups now.
Daryl, I'm going to plug this too.
Just salt, Phelps.
If you want the latest on the dome situations, go to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast. Daryl has tons of stuff in there. Tons. And why, can I say this? Why Burke is not a good idea, right? Is that fair? Can I say that?
Yeah, it's pretty fair. I've been saying that for months. But,
I know. Okay.
Daryl, thank you, buddy.
Politicians don't want to listen to me. Take care, guys. Bye.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He's Nick Costos. Good morning, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Did you not pick the Browns last week?
Oh, I think I said on the show, and the 19 things that I do during the week, that I thought the Browns would beat the Ravens. Turned out that I was correct. I will be sending Kyle Hamilton a gift basket for the dropped interception on the final possession. And a big-time shout-out to my guys, Jameis Winston and Cedric Tillman, for making it happen on the final touchdown. I know Browns fans loved it, and I promise you, I loved it as well.
We're pumped up, so let me give you a thought. Over under Jameis Winston passing yards this week, 450.
Well, if that's the number, then definitely over. No, I mean, I think, you know, Jameis, it's a tougher matchup this week, actually, right, with the Browns hosting the L.A. Chargers and sure. The Chargers defense. I don't see why Jameis can't come close to 300 this week, though. I mean, I think with Ken Dorsey, obviously, you're running the show now as the offensive coordinator, and it just goes to show, and we talked about this, right, and I'm sure you guys know this and the Browns fans know this, just how bad Deshaun Watson was, that literally all it took was a different quarterback, and the offense looks completely different now, right, where Elijah Moore looks like a really good NFL wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy look good. Cedric Tillman looks like a star. And Nick Chubb's getting his feet underneath him, right? And I know the box score, guys, you'll see last week and see Nick Chubb only had 52 yards last week. That's the most any running back has had this season against the Baltimore Ravens. So I think better days are ahead for Nick Chubb. Now, the Chargers open in this game on Sunday, guys, a 3-point road favorite at Cleveland. That number was ridiculous. Now we're sitting Chargers -1.5. So 3 was crazy. That never should have been the number. I think the wrong team's favored in this game, guys. I bet the Browns to win the game. You can still bet Cleveland if you like the Browns. I'm guessing people do. At plus money, plus 105. If you want to take the 1.5, you can also. I think the Browns keep it rolling for another week here with Jameis Winston under center. It's not one of my favorite bets this week. Like last week, it was my favorite bet. But I do like the Browns to win on Sunday, guys, over the Chargers.
All right, if you had to pick Jameis Winston, 3 touchdowns or 3 interceptions?
Oh, I mean, well, it should be 50-50. 50 every week. I mean, if I'm just being honest. Like, if how about this? Instead of, like, can we talk about the receivers for a second?
Sure.
So this week, Jeudy has the highest yardage prop of the 3 receivers. And Njoku has the highest of the 4 Browns pass catchers. And Njoku, 53.5. Jeudy, 48. Tillman, 45. And Elijah Moore, 40. I pretty strongly disagree with the Elijah Moore number in this game. Elijah Moore actually has been targeted the most of any of the Browns receivers since Jameis Winston took over. Like, that number to me feels like it's not right. I'd certainly go over on Elijah Moore, and the Tillman number, all the numbers feel low, honestly, in this new Browns offense. I think this will provide some good bets for us moving forward here until sportsbooks adjust. So Elijah Moore over for sure, over 40.5. The Jeudy over, I think, is definitely playable also. And Cedric, how about this? All 3 receivers over this weekend for the Cleveland Browns. All 3.
Wow.
You made some strong comments about Cedric Tillman. What have you thought of a good look at him in 2 games?
Yeah, so I'm going to offer like a player comp, just like what I see when I watch him. And I am not saying he's as good as this player, because he probably won't ever be as good as this player, only because, like, there aren't that many players that are this good in the league. He reminds me a little bit of, like, Nico Collins, like the Texans wide receiver, who's had like his huge breakout season this season. He was great last year too. He's on IR right now. So I'm not saying that Tillman's going to be like as good as Nico Collins is, like a second round pick in fantasy football drafts, but you gotta love his upside right now. I mean, the 2 touchdowns last week, like I think his upside's pretty high. Jeudy has been a guy who was a former first-round pick, obviously, middle first-round pick from Alabama, who's never got unlocked before. I think Jameis has the ability to elevate him a little bit. And Elijah Moore is a former second-round pick also of the Jets, and the Browns traded for him, and he has yet to be like fully unlocked, and he's been good in this offense. So I'm bullish on all 3. I think Tillman is obviously the most intriguing of the 3.
We'll come back to Browns here in a second. I'm just curious because it's such a big game. Ohio State, Penn State, your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, so do we? I don't think we know if Drew Aller's playing in the game yet, right? The Penn State quarterback?
I don't know.
So I think we think he's going to play. I know he's been at practice. College like injury reports are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
they're going to play this really close to the vest. I actually think this betting market is down right now with Penn State and Ohio State. Let me see here. I'm just doing a quick search. Yeah, I think the market is down. I'm going to like Penn State in the game. Oh, it's here. It's Penn State +3.5. Okay, it just loaded back on my screen. Penn State +3.5. I'm going to like that bet. Not that I think Penn State is going to win, but I do think Penn State can keep this game close. I think that, you know, Drew Aller gives Penn State a higher ceiling than they've had in the past. And I know the knock on James Franklin has always been, can't win games in the big spot. I think a lot of people would say that about Ryan Day. I'm not trying to poke fun, just being honest. And I know Day has gotten to the college football playoff, but has yet to win like the big one. I think that the Drew Aller and Penn State will cover the number in this game. Assuming Aller plays, I'll take Penn State +3.5. Not 3, has to be 3.5, guys, on Saturday.
Interesting. Okay.
Aller was at practice yesterday. That was just a
yes. I think he's going to play. So 3.5. I think the number will close 3. So if anyone out there likes Penn State, I can't imagine many people in your guys' audience does, but if they do, well, I would look to bet Penn State sooner rather than later.
Aller's from here, just so, I mean, some people will be rooting for Drew. He's from Medina, so which is within our listening area. Yeah, that's why.
Is that how this goes? Like, I'm from New York, and, like, it's not a college town. I can't imagine that. See, if it were me, I'd be like, hey, Drew Aller, like, screw you. Why didn't you go to an Ohio school? That would be my opinion.
Fair enough. That I can respect. No, I just say, I think it's more about, like, you know, probably 90% Ohio State, and then there'll be people. Like, I don't think people root against Drew Aller. In fact, I don't even know how it went down with Ohio State with him. Like, I don't know if he was even on Ohio State's radar at the time.
I think Penn State jumped in early.
Yeah, they did. Well, Penn State, hell of a high school quarterback here.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
And he's a really good college quarterback also.
How do we like him for the Browns? What are the odds on him coming to the Browns?
Okay,
never mind. Go ahead next.
Drew Aller for the Browns? I don't know. You guys just got to enjoy. You got to enjoy the Jameis roller coaster while you can.
That's true.
For a little
good
while.
Point.
Yeah,
good
I agree. Point. Adjusted over under for the Browns win total. What do you think?
I can tell you exactly what it is if you give me a second.
I'll give you a second.
Here, I'm just going to because it just sometimes takes a while to find the stuff for it to load. Okay, it is 5.5. So the Browns are what, 2-6 right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 5.5, and it's juiced towards the under. So the betting market is saying the Browns will go 5-12 or worse right
now.
Wow,
what do you think? I think I'd go over on that.
Well, we can play a quick schedule game if you want to have their schedule, and you can do win loss, and we can see where we're at.
Oh boy,
what do you guys think?
Well,
on
you know
Sunday?
Your
do
buddy, our old buddy Andy Roth, the football, loved the schedule game. Like, he'd live for that. That was like his favorite.
Are you being honest or not?
100%, man. Like, he would walk in here, he would be so excited when the schedule would come out, and that's all we would do.
It's awesome.
Guys, we got to do the schedule game. Got to do the schedule game.
Schedule game's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so they're 2-6. Home Chargers. I think they win. Do you agree?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, 3-6. On the road at the Saints after a bye week. So after this game, bye week,
I'm going
on
win.
The road at New Orleans.
I'm going win.
Win?
And with Jameis going there, yes, win. I like
that. Oh, revenge game for Jameis. Yeah. 4-6. Home Steelers.
I'll go loss.
And that's short week, by the way. That's a Thursday game.
Yep, I'll go loss.
Honestly, I'm going win.
Nice.
Because it's at home, I'm taking the win, but I'm splitting the series. So I'll take
it. Okay, so we'll say.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll say 5-6 at Denver.
I think they can win that game.
6-6.
Boom, right back in it, baby.
Yeah, you're back in it.
All right, okay. So at Steelers, so now this is the loss, right?
There's the loss.
Right, so we're going to split it.
6-7. Okay, home Chiefs, loss, 6-8.
Yeah,
loss.
At Cincinnati, loss, 6-9.
Oh, I think they come back and beat Cincinnati because they should have beat them last time. So I'll take a win there.
Yeah. Oh, so you want to call that a win?
I'm taking that as a win. You guys
okay,
can take
so
it as
7-8.
Win. Okay.
7-8, home Miami.
Win.
It's December, 8-8. Miami. Yep, that's a win too.
Baltimore.
Then you got a loss, and there you go, 8-9.
8-9, but you know what? That's way over the 5.5.
It sure is.
I think you guys, if I'm giving you advice, you guys feel strongly about that, you should bet the Browns adjusted win total over.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
They've got the upside to be pretty good. They really do. Like, the team is actually good.
Yeah, we think so, too.
And now, well, I mean, it's just like, it's not even a question. Like, I'll just say this to people. It doesn't have to go this way. But I would encourage, like, it's fun to think about things like this. In week one, now, Dallas's win total before the year was in double digits, the Cowboys. In week one, the Browns were 2.5 or 3 at home against the Cowboys, which means that coming into the year, the betting market thought Cleveland on a neutral field was better than Dallas. And now, like, they actually have a quarterback. I think the upside of the Browns is to win, like, 8 or 9 games now after the rough start, so I agree with you guys here, and I like that over for Cleveland.
Riddle me this one, man in New York. What's with you? What's with the Jets?
They suck. the head coach is like, it's not Jeff Ulbrich's fault. Like, he shouldn't be a head coach. Like, he's the interim coach. He's terrible. Rodgers doesn't look as good. Devontae Adams looks a step slow. The defense are a bunch of, like, overpaid prima donnas who, like, believe their press clippings. They're not playing well. And the kicker is the worst kicker in the history of the NFL, and they finally got rid of him after another disaster for him last week, Greg Zuerlein. So other than that, like, things are great for the Jets.
What do you think about Thursday Night Football then?
Yeah, so I actually, I think that the Jets are hosting Houston tonight, and the Texans are without Nico Collins for another week. He comes off IR next week, and Stephon Diggs is out for the season.
Yep.
So the Jets are actually, because people will be surprised by this, I think. The Texans are 6-2, the Jets are 2-6, and the Jets are favored in this game tonight. And the reason why is all the injuries on offense for the Houston Texans. So I can't get there to bet the Jets in this game, to lay the Jets. I also, though, don't want to bet Houston, and I want people to consider this when you watch the game tonight. I mentioned that Greg Zuerlein, like, in all seriousness, he's the worst kicker in the NFL this season. He cost the Jets like 3 games. I'm not a Jets fan. I'm just like calling it like I see it. He cost the Jets literally 3 games this year because he was so bad at kicking field goals and extra points. So they're going to have a new kicker tonight. I think it's going to be Riley Patterson. It doesn't matter who. It could be me. It's not Greg Zuerlein. So they've upgraded big time at the position. And in a game with a small point spread, that's actually going to matter. So the way that I want to play this game, I think the Jets can win. I don't think they ever win this game by 10 or more points. I don't think that's like in their profile of this game. So I like to tease Houston, guys, a two-team six-point teaser. Tease Houston up to +8, and let's pair that. You can actually pair it with the Browns if you want to, up to +7.5. I like pairing it with New Orleans +7.5, down to -1.5 on the road at the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. If you made me bet the game, gave me $100, say you have to bet it, I would bet the Jets just to win the game, but I don't have to do that, so I won't.
All right, we probably should have opened up this whole thing with just making sure you're okay after last night in the Yankees. Are you okay?
Yeah, man. It sucks, but you know, I understand that Guardians fans have not seen their team win, so I understand how things like this come across from a Yankee fan. I've seen my team win 5 championships, so I understand. Like, no one wants to hear a Yankee fan complain. I understand. I get it. The last 15 years since the Yankees last won in 2009 have been miserable.
Oh.
I get it. I understand. Like, no one wants to hear that. I get it. But it's been really bad. They lose games in a horrifying fashion every single year. And maybe this is my karma, because growing up, I saw 4 World Series in 5 years. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I know this is not a betting question, but how'd you feel about Soto's reaction last night?
I mean, I would have done the same thing.
You said I'm available to everybody? Like, yeah. Right after the game, you're not going to take 2 seconds to kind of embrace your own fans and embrace your own team and go,
who cares? No. I'm with them. I'm with him 100%. Like, what? He doesn't owe the Yankees anything. He's going to get. He's going to get $600 million from somebody.
True.
Like, I don't know.
Hey, if I ever need to fire somebody, if I'm ever in that, I'm hiring you to fire them.
Well, I mean, I don't want to like fire. I mean, Juanzo's not getting fired. He's going to get $600. Getting a raise.
Yeah,
he's not getting fired. But I'll tell you what. Like, let's say you were becoming a free agent.
Yes.
And how about this? I won't put you on the spot. I'll put myself on.
You
the
put
spot.
Me on the spot. I just wouldn't have said anything after the game. I would have been like, you know what? I'm going to let my agent, you know, we just lost the World Series, guys. Just give me a minute to digest where I'm at, where my feet are right now. That's
all. I guess maybe that's like the more like politically correct answer.
There you go.
I have no issue with it. He's a human being. He's probably like, great, season's over. I'm one step closer to being like Jeff Bezos.
Good point.
Nick, like, thank
like,
you, buddy.
Who, like, who cares, man, right? I mean, like, if I were, I'm a Yankee fan and I don't care.
All right, fair enough. It's your wheelhouse. That's fine.
Thank you, buddy.
We're much more sensitive in Cleveland. That's
And I understand. And at some point, the champions, hey, listen, there's always the Cavs beat the crap out of my Knicks the other night. There's always
good
Cleveland
point too,
Cavaliers. Yeah. And Kenny Atkinson, I think, is going to win Coach of the Year. Wishing everyone Minimal Sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, man.
There he is.
All right, I've had enough time. Oh, man. Bob Costas has announced he's retiring from play-by-play.
Are you okay?
I mean, I hope Yankees fans are okay. First, they lose the World Series in the most humiliating way possible. that idiot made all the headlines. He sparked your run. Then you lose game five. You're up 5-0.
5-0.
And that's Aaron Judge. Whoops. Then it's Garrett Cole. Where's first base? I don't know how to cover first base. Then Freddie Freeman gives it right back to you. Now today you lost the one Yankee fan in media. The one guy. Oh, not a Yankee fan. Bull. Like the guy who honestly, his snuff film was calling a Yankee playoff game so he could talk about the history of the Yankees. Now Bob Costas is history himself. Because he's retiring. I had to add add that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to kill him.
Distinction. Mm-mm. Yeah, important it's distinction.
Just thoughts and prayers to Yankees fans, except that one idiot. The Fred Flintstone looking mother. You know what I mean. thoughts on this, Danny? Yeah, give us your take on Bob Costas.
I mean, it feels like he stopped doing play-by-play a while ago, and now he just retired today.
Yeah.
I like hearing old highlights of Bob Costas. Like, I think he was really good once upon a time, but I think that time passed a while ago. I don't like watching play-by-play guys that very clearly don't have their fastball. It was difficult the last couple of years of Marv Albert doing NBA games to listen to. It just was not what I grew up Marv Albert being. And Bob Costas entered that territory a while ago, and he stayed in that territory for probably too long.
I'm deciding how much of my fastball I want to put on display here. And I think Bob Costas, his career, deserves to be celebrated.
Yes.
And the breadth of his career is, I mean, the amount of sports events, the fact that he's been tied to so, and he wasn't just a play-by-play guy. He was a sports commentator, and he was at the front of that. He also has birthed generations of phony-ass media members who say things like, "Oh, I'm objective. I don't have a dog in the fight." And the reality is, nobody's purely objective. We all have biases. And in sports, more so than anything, we all have teams we like. We all have players we like. And this it has been probably three or four generations of people who are wildly full of crap because Bob was full of crap first. I always thought his analysis of sports was devoid of anything interesting. It was always boiled down to the obvious. It was always unemotional, which doesn't really reach me. But even when it comes to logic, okay, yeah, you said the thing that everybody can clearly say. That's not a skill to me. Right? Like, not having opinions and feigning objectivity is not interesting to me. So, like, quite frankly, he is an immense talent. He has a huge, huge, huge footprint on the last 50 years of sports. And I do not care that he's retiring. Because even as a kid, if Bob Costas came on the TV, oh, okay. Because he's everything that sports isn't about to me. It's fake, it's not interesting, and it's boiled down to derivative, easily digestible points that anybody could make. All in the name of, you know, I'm objective, right? Okay, it's crap. It has no interest to me. And it honestly is, and I promise you I'm not saying this because you're sitting across from me, the podcasts I truly hate...
Oh, thank you.
...are the ones who do the same thing. Like, it's okay, personality is not your enemy. If your personality is a pedantic D... I'm sorry. I'm out. Was that...
Do you feel better?
Should I have taken a few miles an hour off the fastball?
No,
there?
Was that, no, okay. No, no, no.
All right.
No. Like, I thought that was a strike.
Like, okay, I just...
That was a good pitch.
Like, it was probably mean, but like, I just...
You're not paid to be nice.
Well, like, okay. The celebrating of guys who've really... Their contribution was, well, they were there. And they'll tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't know. You survived in 50 years. Here's your gold watch. See ya. Although at the same point, I also am so glad Skip Bayless isn't anyone anymore either. Now.
What did Bob Costas do to cross you?
The meanest thing I could say is also the most obvious, which would be exist. And I don't mean that in the literal sense. I really don't. Because that's, I'm not, what I mean is, be who he is. At every turn, at sporting events, that I don't think added anything interesting. While getting paid a lot of money and sure propping himself up to be somebody. Okay, that was mean. Okay, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Danny.
I just wanted to know.
All right, I was good with the fastball and then you brought me there.
Well, you gotta bring curveball too.
But thoughts and prayers to Yankees fans. Can I just, because we now have to get back to the stare go, but we're kind of up again. Yeah, no, we'll do stare go in a minute here. One more time. Ha, 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 ha. The Yankees suck. Ha, 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 ha. You can't win championships anymore. Ha, 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 ha. The Yankees mystique is dead. Sucks to be you, losers. See you next February. Now, back to stare go with the Browns. I mean, if I'm going to be mean, I might as well rip the Band-Aid off. Now, getting back to the names here, we've gone through what I think are the obvious names. Za'Darius Smith, Greg Newsome, Elijah Moore, Jameis Winston. There are some other guys that we could talk about, but Joe Batonio. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be like, hey, guys, Shelby Harris, stay or go. He must stay.
Yes.
He must. I will not part with one-third of We Are the Harrises. Let's get to the tough names.
Let's do it.
Wyatt Teller. Ooh. That's a very nice sigh. Thank I like you. Where we started this.
I've been working on my sigh. I think that it's a little connected to the Joel Batonio decision, too.
Yeah.
If Joel Batonio wants to stay, then Wyatt Teller, I'm open for business. Then I think it can be go. Now, I'm not selling low on Wyatt Teller. Going to need a good price back. But I'm good with go there. As long as Joel Batonio is staying and committing to playing football for the Browns next year.
Mm-hmm.
If those things don't happen, Wyatt Teller has to stay.
I don't even understand why we're having a conversation about Wyatt Teller.
Because you brought him up.
I brought him up. But we've had this conversation since Wyatt signed his contract extension like 3 years ago. I know he's 30. And I know with offensive linemen, once you hit 30, you start to get kind of picky and choosy with how long they stay around. Wyatt's also had a couple injuries the last couple years. I also know you drafted Zach Zinter, which changes the conversation for some people. Wyatt does so many things right, including his relationship with his teammates and his relationship with the fans in the media. I don't see a third-round pick meaning more to me to the Browns than Wyatt Teller.
That's fair.
Even a second-round pick, which is when you start to get second-round picks, like the value increases exponentially.
I don't think you're getting a second-round pick for a guard.
I would agree. And so it is a stay for me. Even if Joel stays, even if that means Zinter stays on the bench one more year.
Okay.
David Njoku.
Stay. I really believe that he's, especially with how young he came into the league, and I think that matters here because he's on, his third contract? Second, whatever. But he's been in the league for a long time, and he's still a young player. I think that he has developed very nicely into one of the best tight ends in football, and I think he is a guy that should be on this Browns team the next time they're a playoff team, the next time they're winning playoff games, hopefully plural. And he is somebody that I could see being a member of the Browns for his entire career. Stay.
A lot of the things they said about Wyatt extend to Njoku. There's one difference between Wyatt and Njoku, and that is positional value. And I do not think this is happening, but if somebody came to you and said, I'll give you a first rounder for David Njoku.
You do it.
I would really, 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 really think about it, given his age, given the wear and tear, given some of the injuries. I don't think they will. I don't even think, by the way, like with the Newsome thing, we're like, well, early fourth rounder, late third rounder. I don't even know, pick 35 is what I need. But if somebody came with a first rounder, I'd really have to seriously consider it.
Yeah.
JOK.
Stay.
Absolutely. He, there's no price.
Absolutely. He, especially just signing a contract extension, I don't know. I'm not an NFL cap guy. I don't understand all the intricacies of it, but I would assume that because he just signed an extension, if they were to trade him, it would bring a ton of dead cap money that would really make the Browns' financial situation worse than it is going to be considering who the quarterback on the books is. But I think that he has become arguably the second best player on this defense, at worst the third best player on this defense. He signed up to be here for a long time. I think he should be here for a long time. I'm not entertaining offers on him.
Myles Garrett.
There's a price, but it's very hefty. It's stay because no one's going to meet that price. But if you get a call from a team that says, hey, we'll give you 3 ones and a two, you can't say no to that.
My price is the Herschel Walker trade and not a penny less. Actually, no. My price is whatever the cost it is to trade up for a young quarterback in the draft, which is 3 firsts, multiple other, and maybe a young player or two. That's my price. Nobody's going to do that.
No. No, no one is going to trade for Myles Garrett.
And by the way,
there is a price.
Even if they do it, I don't know I'd do it. But I at least think about it at an exorbitant price.
I don't think you think about it until you get to 3 first-round picks.
I think it was Toby Keith that once sang, don't think, I don't think about it.
I don't know.
And now you sang it.
I've not ever heard that song.
Stay or go with the Cleveland Browns.
Stay.
Speaking. Well, no, the Browns are going to go to Brook Park, though.
Oh, but Northeast Ohio, stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I'm getting at.
Unless you don't consider Brook Park. part of Northeast Ohio.
It's on the edge.
Which some completely phony politicians don't. Now, when we come back.
It's on the edge.
It's been a minute since I've accosted Danny.
Oh.
It's time again on 92.3 cool. The Fan. You're out in Berea today. Were you surprised to hear Kevin Stefanski speak? Let's go ahead and cue that up, Matt, because I think I just want to play it for people where he basically Kevin Stefanski made an announcement on Jameis Winston and the quarterback position, only to then turn around and kind of couch it.
You mentioned the other day that Jameis will continue to be the starter. Are you naming him the starter for the rest of the season, or was this over week two?
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, but as you know, in football, we're all day to day.
This is very, very close to I have concepts of a plan. All right, like this is well, of course, that is my plan. But football also changes plans all the time. Like, he should have just said yes. And then, because listen, if you're going to lie, it's okay. I don't believe him for a second. I don't believe that they have any intention of based off one game. There might come a time in the very, very near future where I think Jameis, where it's going to be obvious. If they just keep winning, that's Jameis's thing. They keep winning and they're not winning in spite of Jameis, and Jameis is making enough big plays, he's going to keep starting. That's just common sense. We also know if the real, 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 real bad version of Jameis shows up on Sunday, it's going to be a real conversation going into the bye because you'd have 2 weeks to get DTR ready, right? Or are you just taking what he said as the gospel?
Well, I think the other layer to this is obviously with the trade deadline being a week away, and we know that there is at least some conversations to be had there. Like, if he plays well for a second consecutive week, do you flip him in a trade? I just think this is Stefanski basically leaving like all options on the table. This is him being like, we're all week to week. Next week he could get traded. Next week he could be absolutely god-awful, like you mentioned, the terrible version of Jameis. And we might decide it's time to start evaluating DTR because now we have 7 losses and our playoff chances are like slim to none.
That is the beauty of every Kevin Stefanski answer. At some point, it is, and this is the second time I've said this, a Rorschach test. Like, it's just like, what did you want to hear? Well, if you wanted them to dangle Jameis, you heard, well, it is the NFL. Oh, it's out of my hands. It's Andrew Berry's decision. If you want Jameis to be the starter because you're locked in after one game, all you heard was yes. Like, this is the beauty of saying nothing, is that at some point you can just ply meaning however you want it to be.
Yeah, he's very good at that. He's very good at just like having the open-ended answers. You don't think he's good at like having the open-ended answers that like give you kind of both?
No, because I think he also butchers things way. But because it's so gray. You know what
we need to do? We need to go back to the post-2021 season press conference where him and Andrew Berry both said that they still believed in Baker and figure out, because all we really remember is that line. And we forget what they said after that.
Well, they did believe in him. They just believed him in Carolina more than they believed in him in Cleveland, right? Like, I think that context, 8 hours away, is better. Like, I believe in him more in that way than I do here, right? It's like when people are like, what do you think of your brother-in-law? I'm like, he's a great guy. The farther he is away from me.
As soon as you start a line with a great guy, I think we all know where this thing's headed.
Yeah, which, by the way, there's a lot to get into, which is Jameis in general, because Jameis had a couple more things that Jameis, like, it really should be, like, my Twitter handle, at Nick Wilson Says, is at Nick Wilson Says. It really should be at Jameis Winston Says, because he just says. He just says things, and it happens. So I do think, like, listen, I think, again, if we're going back to the Rorschach idea, I do think you can take this as a message to DTR, as a, hey, man, we've gone to you twice. You've acted surprised both times that you've had to go into an NFL game. Like, we're going to make you feel as on the outside of this as possible so that the next time we go, be ready. Your ass is actually ready.
Well, and it was weird that he wasn't ready this time. Because, like, the Ravens game last year, I understood. That was like, that whole situation was odd. Where that was where the whole like Deshaun Watson being day-to-day thing started. And they were very vague about it all week. And then we didn't know really going in. And then all of a sudden it was like we woke up and, oh, DTR starting. Okay, nobody saw that coming. But like last week, he was listed as quarterback too. And there was conversations that like it sounded like they were sort of preparing him to be quarterback too for that game. So why wasn't he more prepared, I guess?
Maybe he's just super literal. Maybe he's, you know, like, I have a kid like this.
You have to tell him he's starting.
Yeah, like, I have a kid that I have to be like, we are going to the store. I can't be like, you can go somewhere special. No, we're going to the store. Because the nebulous of we're going somewhere special, that could mean somewhere special to dad and not somewhere special
like,
to him.
Going to the water park?
Yeah. Like, well, yes, exactly. Because then you go, we're going to the store. And then she's like, oh, I guess we're not going to Kaleidoscope. Okay, cool. Maybe DTR is of the younger generation, and you just have to walk up, look eye to eye, and go, DTR, we're going to play you this weekend. You will
like
back
a toddler,
up.
Like he's a yeah. toddler, yeah.
But it's so funny that the conversation around Jameis that is just so interesting is because I like saying this is like shouting into the wind today. Right, like trying to have a real conversation about Jameis today is null and void because people are it's too good off the goofy juice from 1 week. And so I know that this conversation is going to land differently if he plays differently against the Chargers. He is week to week. And that's where he should be because Jameis is a lot like Joe in the fact that if he can keep the turnovers to an acceptable that you will not limit turnovers with Jameis.
Except on Sunday. Somehow they limited it on Sunday. No, except for the strip sack. Yeah,
and the three almost interceptions.
And that was kind of his fault because that one looked like one where he was supposed to sort of tell them to block the extra guy, and he didn't.
I mean, if we go interceptable passes, he had three darn tooting right on the nose.
So did Lamar. So.
No, but that's not the point. Like Lamar's a MVP candidate. Jameis. Is Jameis to this point in his career. But if you can keep it within two turnovers per game, and then you've got to kind of counteract that with two or three touchdowns per game, that's how is how Jameis keeps this thing any longer than this weekend.
Not to say it's like apples to apples totally, but like it is sort of reminiscent of the Joe Flacco experience from last year. Joe Flacco had his interceptions. The Bears game comes to mind as a game where he threw multiple interceptions, but he had the ability to dig you out of that hole, and then lo and behold, they end up winning that game. So it's like it's the exact same thing.
Did you just say the same thing back to me that I said to you? I think he just pulled a Dustin. I think we saw Dustin here because Dustin was here to record some spots.
You didn't
I think
mention
he just pulled
Joe
a Dustin.
Flacco, did you?
I 100%.
I really didn't hear you mention Joe Flacco. It must be my headphones.
I said
headphones.
His name.
Must
I said the
headphones.
Full name.
I'm sorry.
No. The headphones.
These damn
you
robotic
bleep.
Headphones.
Ah, man, if I could. I'm just trying to translate it through the robot. Through robot Nick Wilson. But no, I think he's week to week. And I think that's where he should be. Because, like, I think there's a danger in letting. Like, I think, okay, I think there's a calculated play here. If I take this to mean anything, all right? I think it's trying to tell the locker room, hey, we're solid, you're good, let's just, we're calm in the waters, go out there. The problem is, I don't know if that's necessarily the thing that works best for Jameis. And that's an I don't know. I'm not like trying to...
So what works best for Jameis then?
But I don't know. Like, I don't know if security is how you keep Jameis, because I think, listen, Jameis is always going to have to tame the tiger, all right? And he is the tiger. He is the guy that's going to be like, well, it's 3rd and 3 here, but I'm going to throw a 50-yard pass that makes no sense at all. Or it's 3rd and 3, and we've got the perfect third down play, and I'm going to audible to something that makes absolutely no sense, which we did see. I think it was 3rd and 5, though. Or maybe it was 3rd and 1. I don't know.
You're talking about the screen pass?
The sweep. The sweep that on first blast, I was like, Kevin Stefanski, I will fire you myself.
Because I actually thought the screen pass he audible to was the right call. I just don't think they blocked it right.
Yeah, but the sweep pass, like that's the, and or audibling to get somebody a touchdown, which he did in New Orleans. Like, there's just.
I'm still waiting for that. If this season continues going the direction that it's going and Jameis really is the starter for the rest of the year, there'll be at least a couple of those.
Like I've said, it will always be entertaining with Jameis, and that is going to be something that endears him to Cleveland fans until it doesn't. But no, that's where I am. Like, so you say week to week, or are you taking it kind of bigger chunks, or are you saying, I just need Jameis the rest of the year?
I mean, I think until we get... it's week to week, especially with the trade deadline looming, because to me, like, I still maintain, like, they could turn around on Monday and decide we are going to trade him because somebody's offering you the sun and the stars and the moon. I don't know. I mean, you're not going to. I say that you're not going to get like a first round pick for Jameis, but like if somebody threw a third round pick at you, would you take that trade?
Yeah, I'd take it tomorrow. I don't think anybody's doing it.
But but that's what I'm saying. Like if you somehow if he plays well on Sunday and some team's like, man, we could use a quarterback like that. Maybe somebody slips in and gives you something. I'm just saying.
That'd be the funniest thing in the NFL if somebody was like the Chargers game was like. You guys heard about this Jameis Winston guy? He can ball.
Pretty good, but no. Yep, he can ball. But no, I think it starts there, and then it also just does divulge into, like, yeah, like, if he gives you one of those classic Jameis games where there's multiple turnovers, multiple problems, and we have, and you can tell that there's something, you know, he's giving you the same problems that are not going to help you win games, then yeah, I think you do pivot to DTR, and then it just becomes an evaluation game. I also think the record matters here. Because Kevin likes to play this quarterback gives us the best chance to win. And if you lose two more games, then I think it truly does just become about a DTR evaluation process anyway.
We got plenty to get to today. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us at 4. Dave McMenamin of ESPN with LeBron in town with the Cavs. Bronny's here as well. That sounded a lot more insulting than I really wanted it to be. Bron and Bronny are here. Dave's going to join us at 4:40. We'll get into, is this LeBron's last go-round in Cleveland? Which feels, guys, he's going to tell us. But we'll get to that. We also have Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 as well. The 5 at 5, predictably at 5. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Spencito _ social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Kevin Stefanski says it's his plan to start Jameis the rest of the season, but football happens. Are you buying Kevin Stefanski putting Jameis as the starter the rest of the way and the path forward for the Browns and Jameis next on 92.3 The Fan. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.